Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, COVID-19 tips and update. First, I'd like to encourage everybody to observe the what they call the do the five. Hands, wash them often. Elbow, cough into it. Face, don't touch it. Space, keep safe distance. I'm hearing two different numbers. I heard 6 feet originally. Then I read somewhere else where it said 3 feet. So, home, stay home if you can. If you don't have to go somewhere, you shouldn't be going hopping around to the club, just going to be going, have a purpose for when you go out of your home, in observance of the self team, which will help, which will minimize the spread of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. So, you know, you want to observe that quarantine as much as you can. If you have to, you know, aid someone, you have to go to the doctor, you need gas, put in your car, you're an essential worker. We understand you need to be on the street traveling and knocking on some doors to, you know, handle those situations. You need, of course, the grocery store. So remember to wash your hands frequently if you have gloves. That will help. And, you know, I noticed see an increase of people wearing masks lately. We're going to get into that also as we get through the show today. I've seen pictures of people in China. I noticed that they had masks, everybody. I don't know if that meant that all those people were sick or that they all wear masks in China. In terms of trying to address kind of like stop the spread of the, you know, not stop the spread, but because I don't think you can just stop it from wearing a mask. But maybe that's their way of trying to minimize spread of COVID-19. So from the World Health Organization, that's short. Acronym WHO, W-H-O, that's the World Health Organization. So I'm just going to just go back a little bit and talk about COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. It is an infectious disease caused by the most recently discovered coronavirus. Apparently, coronavirus in itself is not new. They're saying that this is a new virus and disease where unknown, which this disease was unknown before the outbreak in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019. So they're saying coronaviruses, not new. This virus, which they call COVID-19, CV-19, which some people might call it, they gave it this name, SARS-CoV-2, from Science Alert. Rough estimates suggest there could be as many as 100 million types of viruses on the Earth's surface. That's a lot of viruses. Virus size varies to extremely minuscule. That's like so small you can't see it. Right? To monsters that change the very definition of virus, such as a 2.3 micrometer to pan virus. Okay, so that means for a virus, I guess that's, you know, large. So what is a virus? Because I've been having this conversation and hearing or reading things about virus, and where some people say and they know more than I know about a virus. Say the virus is not alive. And I guess we might come to, you know, to the layman might say, what's meaning? It's not alive, but it's having this impact on life. And it's acting like it's alive, you know, attaching itself to life and reproducing and, you know, doing what a virus does. So just to shed a little light on what is a virus, not to confuse anybody, hopefully. A virus is a genetic material contained within an organic particle that invades living cells and uses their host metabolic process, right, to produce a new generation of viral particles. So they're using the way that a cell reproduces, right, hijacking that. So the cell is reproducing the things it needs to reproduce, its DNA, and reproducing cells. And this thing gets in there and says, no, y'all going to make more of me. And so he gets in there and that process is hijacked, and now you're making more viruses, basically what that's saying, which is a hell of a process for a non-living thing to be able to do. So the way they do this varies, they say. Some insert their genetic material into the host's DNA, right? It's almost like impregnating the cell with its DNA, where it can sit and wait until it's transferred at a later date. That's it, lying dormant. That's a phrase that they use for that. It's there, but it's not doing anything. It's just laying back, waiting for whatever things to occur to make it come forth. As the host cell replicates itself, it can make new viruses. I was just talking about that. So if that cell start producing more or doing what it does to produce more cells, they get stuck up by this virus printing in, you know, DNA of the, or RNA, whatever it is, of the virus, reproducing that. So as the body try to replicate itself, it makes It can make new viruses. Viruses can also burst their host cell, the host cell, as they expand in numbers, in what's called a lytic cycle of reproduction. That don't sound good. That sounds really bad right there. Virus can also burst their host cell as they expand in numbers. That's called the lytic cycle of reproduction. I'm just giving you an overview on viruses. Are viruses alive? Which is a question that, you know, originally brought forth. I mean, because for something to not have life, you know, to be causing so much destruction is, you know, to be able to interact with life the way it does. It's amazing. All viruses alive. So this is a question scientists continue to discuss as definitions of life and ecology change. So basically, this is something, I guess, these guys, we call scientists, have been discussing and I guess having a big debate about, is the virus alive or not? Current thinking suggests viruses should be considered part of a complex living system, one that extends between all organisms. Virons are the inactive particles that move through the environment, which we don't tend to think of as alive. Only once they're part of a cell do viruses take on living characteristics of their own. So once they hijack the cell, they take on living, what we call living characteristics. Borrowing the host biochemistry to reproduce. Just talk to you. Hijack that. It's like you're going to a U.S. Mint, and instead of printing the U.S. money, they printing your money. You from Afghanistan. Bam. So now we're going to use your apparatus to print my coin. So that kind of thing going on. So as such, it's more accurate to think of viruses as part of the continuum between chemistry and biology, one that isn't clearly divided into living and non-living, because this thing, sure enough, is interacting with the living as a living organism. You know what I'm saying? So how does it even know to do what it does? It doesn't have any life. That's, you know, how does it, you know, do what it do? Okay, and where did this come from? This is from Science Alert. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Animal to animal mutation in just 2 weeks. The Post asserts that mutations in the RNA or DNA of a virus sometimes allow for animal-to-human transfer, but not human-to-human transfer. So that means you can get it from an animal, but you can't transfer it to another human being, which is one of the arguments, I guess, that people have about the situation that we have now. Well, I guess it's not an argument. It's one of the things that we are dealing with now, actually. If we are to assume that this COVID-19 came from an animal in a wet market, jumped off of that animal onto a person in that wet market and spread it, you know, from that point, from that person to other people, or from that animal to another person to other people, or animals. We don't know. If, you know, we don't know. implies a second mutation event is required to allow for human-to-human transfer and therefore a possible pandemic to occur. Now, here comes this coronavirus. It existed in animals only for nobody knows how long, but one day, at an animal market in Wuhan, China, in December 2019, it mutated and made the jump from animal to people. At first, only animals could give it to a person. But here is the scary part. In just 2 weeks, it mutated again and gained the ability to jump from human to human. Science calls this a quick ability, slippery. They call this ability slippery. In 2 weeks, it said this thing mutated in 2 weeks, theoretically, anyway. So this is from Snopes, Fact Finders. They said, while most viruses mutate multiple times in the process that allows transfer between animal and human, and then human to human, there is no data that they are aware of that supports the details of this statement. COSI, this is he's a professor, we still don't know what animal it jumped from, so there's no way to know how long it took before it evolved the ability to move from person to person. He explained the virus most closely resembles a coronavirus found in bats. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. I think one of the first stories I heard anyway was that it came from people eating bat soup. They had a picture of a bat and a plate with his stomach cut open, the wings, the head, everything just sitting there. So they said people eat that and they caught this coronavirus from this big bat. You know, so that's what he's talking about right here, this bat thing. In fact, this virus, as they say, may have been pretty much perfectly set up to infect humans right off the bat, so to speak, and therefore would not have required the alleged multiple quick mutations to produce human-to-human transfer. That was from Matthew Friedman of the University of Maryland School of Medicine. There's more to that article, but you check it out on Snopes Fact Finder. I just took that snapshot of that part right there, but I thought that was interesting. Because of fact that somebody is saying, hey, 2 weeks is a short time for that virus to have mutated. And then another assertion that, you know, the fact is we don't really know where it came from, right? And that maybe this is not that the virus didn't come from an animal. Maybe it came from a human. It's a human virus. And all this, I guess, is very scary stuff because people are dying, becoming very ill. From the CDC. Currently. Oh, the Center for Disease and Control. So just because you don't know what the CDC is. Currently, the source of SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus causing the COVID-19, is unknown. Because I know we hear a lot of stories. I mean, the story I hear is that it came from, I heard the bat first. Then the next thing I heard was it came from these animals at these wet markets. Wet markets are markets where they I'm gonna explain this story, make it a short, long story short. They sell wild animals and they butcher them there, amongst other types of farm animals and things that they sell in a wet market. So you might have a, depends on how, you know, how you keep your market, how things get contaminated and things like that. Because, you know, you have animals on top of each other, pus and body fluids, stuff like that, that could contaminate the animal underneath it. And so, and the people coming in the wet market. So it's very, very important, you know, about these wet markets. I don't know if it's true or false, if it started in a wet market. I don't know. Is it, to me, personally, it doesn't tell me where the virus came from. It might tell me how that person may have contacted the virus from an animal in a wet market, but it doesn't tell me the source of the virus. But like they said originally, in the beginning, there are many, many viruses on the planet. So I don't know. I don't know how that happens, that they've been here all this time and all of a sudden they just decided, say, hey, I'm going to cause a pandemic, get these people jumping. You know, they've been here all this time, and all of a sudden this virus just decided to do something. It's not a living thing. All of a sudden it just pops up, causing all these problems. I think that's, I don't know. This is one of those things that make me, you know, I don't know much about viruses again. I know about the cold, the flu. You know, we had the swine flu at one time. I know they had SARS, which is very, looks like this virus right here, which they call SARS. So, basically, it says the CDC is saying they don't know where it came from, which is not a good look since they say there's a lot of viruses on the planet. Where this would come from. So apparently it came from somewhere. Is COVID-19 airborne? See, a lot of people wearing masks. Is it airborne? They said the virus has caused it on COVID-19, right? The SARS-CoV-2 is mainly transmitted through droplets generated when a infected person coughs, sneezes, or speaks. Basically, somebody's body fluids from their nose or their mouth. You know, when you chew or cough, you might, you know, some people, when they talk, they spit. If they're infected with the COVID thing, then you're going to catch it. You're definitely going to catch it like that. All right? So, somebody sneeze, you don't want to walk up behind them and through that area where they sneezed at. You don't want to be around for that. Because that's definitely how you catch COVID. It's not a guarantee that you're going to catch COVID-19 because a person coughs, sneezes, or some spit comes out when they're talking. So I'm just looking at those three things. I wonder why sweat isn't on there. Anyway. They said these droplets are too heavy to hang in the air. They quickly fall on floors or surfaces. All right, so apparently, not in the air that long, but you still don't want to walk through that area like that. That's my advice. So if somebody's sneezing, now you're walking, you don't want to walk that way. You want to walk another way. You can be infected by breathing in the virus if you are within a meter of a person who has COVID-19 or by touching a contaminated surface and then touching your eyes, nose, and mouth before washing your hands. So COVID land on the table. I sneeze on this table. I got COVID, which let's just say a shopping cart. I sneeze on the bar. I put the cart back. You know, somebody else come in, grab the cart, bam. And she starts scratching her eye or he or whatever, rubbing her eye, coughing, covering her mouth. So they just transferred that to COVID-19. You know, that's the best way to catch it, you know, and it's, you know, that's the most effective way of catching it. So I said basically, if you do that before washing your hands, you have a very, very, very good chance of catching. If someone has COVID-19, you have a very good chance of contracting it. So I'm going to be saying a lot tonight.
Wash your hands.
Especially when you know, out in the world, coming in contact with places where different people come. Wash your hands, wash all your chairs, your tables down, the things that you touch, and things like that. So wash everything down before you touch your face, your nose, your eyes, your orifices on your head. So I take that a little farther, any orifice or anything, before you touch anything, wash your hands. Should I wear a mask to protect myself? I see a lot of masks, you know, just from my own reading. You know, I see people in masks, I think, well, they got COVID because they have a mask on, you know. But I've seen in China, lots of people had masks on. I'm seeing more people here where I live in States, in stateside. I see people with masks on. And I'm thinking that, you know, they're just trying to protect themselves. So no harm, no foul. That's what I'm thinking. That, you know, if they got it, they can't spread it that much, that well. If they don't have it, no harm, no foul. Well, here's what they're saying about that. Only wear a mask if you are ill. If you have COVID-19 symptoms, especially the coughing. As we said, it's when you cough, some people cough, they're spitting out fluid. Or if you're looking after someone, you're taking care of someone who may have COVID-19, right? So if you're a healthcare professional, you need to wear a mask. Disposable face masks can only be used once. I see a lot of people with that little thin kind of like thing that they wear in there. Are you going to the emergency room, that little thin mask the doctors wear? I see some of the other ones too, the white ones, kind of construction ones also. But you got to remember, you can only wear disposable ones once. And here's why you should be, they say you should, if you don't have COVID-19 or symptoms, why you should not be wearing a mask. They say because there's a worldwide shortage of masks. So the World Health Organization is urging people to use masks wisely. So I thought that was very interesting, you know, thing to say, because you really don't know who has COVID. So if you need a mask to be around someone who has COVID, then I think people are thinking, I don't know who has COVID, I don't know who has it. So when I go out in public, I'm wearing a mask, and that's kind of logical, you know. But apparently, it's creating a shortage because the whole world is going through this. The World Health Organization advises rational use of medical masks to avoid unnecessary waste of precious resources and misuse of masks. You know, I understand why the people are wearing masks. They said, but they're saying, hey, if you don't have it, you don't need a mask. But if you need a mask to be, if you in the presence of caring for someone with COVID, wouldn't it seem logical? And I'm not trying to tell people to go against the World Health Organization, but I'm just trying to think why people are wearing a mask. It's because if you say, I need a mask to be in the presence of, if I'm caring for someone who may have COVID-19, then I need a mask when I go to the supermarket to be in the presence of someone who may have COVID-19. I think that's why people are wearing masks. And like I said, I can understand it. And, you know, somebody sneezes, and nowadays, just because you're sick doesn't mean you have COVID-19. Just because you sneeze doesn't mean you have COVID-19. Just because you have a temperature doesn't mean you have COVID-19. Right? You have COVID-19, although you have those symptoms, which we'll get into, then you need to get tested. All right? So the most effective way to protect yourself and others against COVID-19 It says to frequently wash your hands. Cover your cough with your elbow, like been coughing your elbow. You know, do it in there, and or tissue, and maintain a distance of at least 1 meter, 3 feet, right? 1 meter is 3 feet from people who are coughing or sneezing. Sneezing, I like to be farther than 3 feet away from somebody sneezing on a regular. Not even with the COVID thing going on. It's just period. 3 feet is just too close for me. So, what are the symptoms of COVID-19? Well, I talked about that maybe 2 weeks ago. Never hurts to talk about it, repeat it. The most common symptoms of COVID-19 are fever, tiredness, and dry cough. That's the guy that's coughing, heaving and coughing, and nothing happening. There's no rattling, there's no saliva, no cold, no mucus coming up, and nothing like that. It's just dry. All right? Some patients may have aches, congestion, runny nose, sore throat, and diarrhea. That sounds like your regular run-of-the-mill, I got a cold, right? Oh, I got a bad cold, I got a little cold. That's the whole gambit. So you can have, I guess, a lot of these symptoms and not have COVID-19. Right? Some people become infected but don't develop any symptoms. So you can have COVID-19 and you feeling groovy. You don't feel sick at all. I think I'm with him, the actor Idris Elba, and I think a basketball player, what's his name? LeBron James. I think they said they had COVID, but they have no symptoms. They said most people, about 80%, recover from the disease without needing special treatment. That they don't need oxygen, they don't need any type of medication or anything like that. They have it, and, you know, they say around 1 out of every 6 people who get COVID-19 becomes seriously ill. 1 out of every 6 people who gets COVID-19, who gets it, becomes seriously ill and develops difficulty breathing. That's not a good number right there. That's not a good look. It's the older people and those with underlying medical problems like high blood pressure, heart problems, or diabetes are more likely to develop serious illnesses. People with fever, cough, and difficulty breathing should seek medical attention. Now, I believe that they have established sites for testing. They don't want you to just go to your doctor. They want you to call first. Because what you don't want to do is run into a crowded doctor's office if you have COVID-19. You don't want to do that. You want to call your doctor first, give me a heads up. You know, I think I got COVID or something like that. Or you want to go to one of these sites where they test people with COVID-19. From Digital Trends, from Will Nicole. This is something I heard about. You know, this is new to me, but I thought it was worth sharing. They said, how UV lights kills microbes. They say, viruses don't reproduce on their own, but they do have genetic material, either DNA or RNA. They reproduce by attaching light to another cell. They hijack the cell. They get in the cell, interjecting their DNA. Some viruses burst out of the infected cell. This form of reproduction is called the lighted cycle, right? We talked about that, right? So, back to this UV light thing. If you've ever gotten sunburned, you had a taste of how UV light kills viruses. So, apparently, UV light has an impact on viruses, a negative impact on them, because what it does is not good for the virus. UV light can damage DNA, a DNA module molecule is made of two strands bound together by four bases, right? The bases are like an alphabet, and their sequence forms instructions for cells to reproduce. All right? The UV light can cause dime bases to fuse together, scrambling the DNA sequence and eventually throwing a wrench into the machinery. Now you're throwing a wrench into the virus's machinery. The virus throws a wrench in your machinery, and the UV light throws a wrench in the virus machinery. Since the DNA sequence is no longer correct, right? Because it has a sequence, right? So I think, what is it? A, C, G, T, right? Adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine, right? It's a sequence in which these things both occur that tells this virus to reproduce. All right, so that's like you don't have the sequence, you don't have the foreman, you don't have the manager, you don't have the foreman, you don't have the workers. Nobody's online. Everybody's just running around. Managers out over McDonald's, foreman sleep, and the workers are just sitting back watching a movie somewhere. So anyway, the UV light disrupts all that, right? Sends that all those things out to lunch. Right? Since the DNA sequence is no longer correct, it can no longer replicate properly. This is how UV light annihilates viruses by destroying their ability to reproduce. So some people might be saying, wow, well, let's get some UV light and let's go kill this coronavirus. Which brings us to the next question. Will it work on the coronavirus? CV-19 is a new breed, they say. And as such, there is a whole lot of studies on its resistance to UV light, all right? That ain't the only thing you need to worry about, though. But that hadn't stopped people from buying UV devices to fight the device, you know, fight the virus off, right? People, I guess if you're selling UV lights, you're making a little bit of money right now because people wouldn't know about that going out and buying this. Companies that produce UV devices are selling, having a boost in sales. And hospitals are using the UV equipment, robots to disinfect hospital rooms. Even face masks are getting the UV treatment. Right? But this virus, CV-19, is resistant to UV light, all right? UV light is also could be harmful to your skin. You must, so it's not good for you, all right? So it's not a good look. They said people with contact lenses, they suggest that you switch to glasses. I guess the people who wear all that stuff around their eyes, maybe they need to just go natural a little bit too. All right? From the CDC. How long does the virus survive on surfaces? Now, I heard of things about that. How long does this virus survive on a surface? Now, there's a lot of information out on a lot of information out on the CV-19, and now I can't cover everything on my show, but I'm hoping that I'm covering enough, you know, to get other people who are interested to do their own research. How long does the virus survive on the surface? Well, they say from the CDC, they say they're not certain how long the virus that causes CV-19 survives on the surface. But it behaves like other coronaviruses. So it suggests that the viruses, including Preliminary information on the CV-19 virus may persist on surfaces for a few hours up to several days. All right? This may vary under different conditions, the type of surface it is, temperature, or humidity of the environment. Okay? If you think a surface may be infected, clean it with simple disinfectant to kill the virus and protect yourself and others. Clean your hands with alcohol-based hand rub and wash them with soap and water. I'm going to probably be saying it all night because it's very important to keep washing your hands with soap and water, right? Because the soap has an impact on the virus. It says it has a fatty covering, and the soap breaks it down, and something happens to the virus, it just, you know, kills it, which is amazing. Too bad we just can't drink some soap and then this. And I hope nobody takes that to mean that. That was a joke, and we're going to move right on ahead. Okay, nobody, anybody listening to this, do not drink soap to try to kill this virus. All right? Avoid touching your eyes, mouth, and nose, right? First vaccine trial starts in the U.S. This is 3/16/2020. They say there are 45 healthy volunteers going to take part in the first human trial of the vaccine for the COVID-19. That's 45 very, very brave souls. They said the vaccine doesn't contain the COVID-19 virus. They did some kind of synthetic genetic code, copied the virus's genetic code and created this. I guess this is a synthetic virus that they made, which is woo. I mean, I don't know. Is that just as bad as the regular virus? How's that work? Can a synthetic virus harm you? Contains a harmless segment of the genetic code copied from the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So they say it's harmless. Those 45 guys are going to let you know. Because after they take this virus, they have to be this vaccine, they have to be exposed to the virus. So that's a hell of a, thing to volunteer for. Four healthy volunteers. That's a hell. You're going to take a synthetic virus, and then they're going to see if you catch the real virus, I guess. I'm assuming they're going to expose them to the real virus. That's the only way you're going to know if that thing works. Can't keep them in quarantine after you give them the vaccination. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting because I thought it took a couple of years to develop a vaccine. The trial, which is funded by the National Institute of Health, NIH, will take place at the Kaiser Permanente Washington Health Research Institute in Seattle. If the first tests are successful, of course, the vaccine is still likely to take up to 18 months before it reaches the public. Okay, so there you go. There's your 2 years right there. This is the test. So I guess that's what it happens. From CNBC, and we're on for an hour and a half tonight, for those who might be listening. China's National Health Commission reported there were 2,009 new confirmed cases and 142 additional deaths as of February 15th. That brings the total number of cases in mainland China to 68,500. And the total deaths so far to 1,665, according to the latest statistics from the commission released on Sunday, they said. Over 100,000 people have recovered from the CV-19 virus. Also from the CDC. These are different numbers. These numbers came out at different time periods because I have heard different numbers recently of the day. From the CDC, cumulative total number of CV-19 cases in the United States, report date January 12, 2020 to March 27, 2020, 103,321 from the World O-Meter. As of 3/28/20, U.S. had 120,000 cases and 76 cases. 120,076 cases. They had 1,993 deaths. Of those recovered from the illness were 3,229. Worldwide, there were 657,915 cases, 30,433 deaths, 441,419 of those recovered. Of the active cases, there were 4,086. 4,086 and 63 cases, which was 95% of the people. There were 4,086 and 63 cases. 95 of those cases had a mild 4,615. 5% were serious. Critical. Closed cases with outcomes. That means they either lived or they were treated, recovered, or they died, right? There were 1,771,852 cases, 82% recovered, which was 1,041,419, and 18% died, which is the 30,433. From Medical News Today, the recent coronavirus outbreak began in Wuhan, China, in December 2019, which, you know, I've mentioned previously. It's known as SARS-CoV-2. The virus has resulted in more than 600,000 infections and 27,000 deaths. The SARS-CoV-2 infection causes a respiratory illness called COVID-19, has now been reported on every continent except Antarctica. Is there anybody on Antarctica? That's my question. Because I don't think I can't recall even hearing about people being there. Is there somebody there, but there's like one, two people hanging out up there? I mean, how often do people get to Antarctica? They said the number of U.S. cases surpasses China. This was this came in on 3/27/20. As of they said the United States have registered more cases of COVID-19 than China. How's that? Well, China had the big head start. How we get up to how we get more cases in China? At the time of writing, the U.S. had reported 85,991 cases, compared to China's 81,782 cases. That's crazy. So it's spreading like wildfire in the U.S. Officials in the most affected areas of the U.S. are concerned about the lack of medical equipment in hospital beds, which they should be. I think that's something that was a concern in a lot of places. I think Italy is making decisions about, yo, if you old, you're over 80 or something and you catch it, you had a nice life, you know, that they kicking it like that over there, making decisions about who's even going to get service, medically serviced or not. That's how bad it is. The governor of New York, Mr. Cuomo, said, feels that any scenario is going to be, going to overwhelm the capacity of the, healthcare system. I said, as the number of cases in the United States increases, the president of China spoke with Trump and is supposed to be working with him. So Trump's going to listen to somebody, apparently. Trump said he's working with this guy, so maybe there's somebody that Trump will listen to. The World Health Organization recently launched Solidarity, a multi-pronged study trailing a range of potential treatments for COVID-19, both new and old. So they're trying to use old remedies and some new stuff to try to fight this disease. So they want it. Now, just want to remind anybody, want to questions, anything they'd like to say, press number one, call in, and get you up. From the World Health Organization, if you are healthy, you only need to wear a mask if you are taking care of a person. I think I said this before. Wear a mask if you're coughing or sneezing, right? Wear masks. Masks are effective only when used in combination with frequent hand cleaning, right? If you wear a mask, you then must know how to use it and dispose of it properly. They want you to dispose of it in a closed container. Right? I'm getting some messages from somebody. If you want to speak, it's best for you to call up and say what you have to say. Alright? Please call us. Call in at 516-531-9540 if you want to speak or share some information. Again, the number is 516-531-9540. When and how to wear medical or mask to protect against coronavirus. Basically, wash your hands before you put your mask on. Make sure that the you cover your mouth and nose. Make sure there's no gaps between your face and the mask. And a lot of the masks I see don't look like they provide that kind of cover. It's just, you know the hospital mask that they wear when you come in an emergency, all banged up, beat down, or whatever it is you went in for. Those masks don't really cover like that, and it's not a tight fit. So I see a lot of those, mostly. And I see some other some fancy kind of masks also that do fit that way. Avoid touching the mask while using it. Replace the mask with a new one as soon as it's. Do not reuse single-use masks. If it's only made to wear, mask is only made to be worn once. Only wear once, and that's it. Leave it alone. Put it in the trash. Remove the mask. Remove it from behind. Don't grab the front of the mask and remove it. Take the I guess you got strings or rubber bands from the back. That's how you take it off. All right. Discard the mask immediately in a closed bin. All right. So there is some ideas about the coronavirus, how to deal with it, and you know. So we're gonna go over some corona virus MythBusters, and one of them was just talking about this recently. Said the CV19 virus can be transmitted in areas with hot and humid climates. They said the evidence so far says the virus can be transmitted in all areas, including areas with hot and humid weather. Because I heard somebody say that I don't know, was it cold or hot anyway? This doesn't matter, regardless of the climate. The best way to protect yourself against the CV19 is by frequently washing your hands. By doing this, you eliminate viruses that may be on your hands and avoid infection that occur by then touching your eyes, mouth, and nose. Cold weather and snow cannot kill the new coronavirus. Yeah, this one was something about right here. There's no reason to believe that. They said the cold weather can kill the new coronavirus or other diseases. The normal human body temperature remains around 36.5 Celsius to 37 degrees Celsius. I think that's like 98 or something like that. 98 degrees or something like that. Regardless of the external temperature or weather, the most effective way to protect yourself against the new coronavirus is frequently cleaning your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or washing them with soap and water. Temperature thing, cold weather and snow. That's not stopping it. Taking a hot bath does not prevent the new coronavirus disease. So the best way to protect yourself against CV19. Can anybody guess this? Frequently cleaning your hands. All right? Especially before touching your eyes, mouth, and or nose. The new coronavirus cannot be transmitted through mosquito bites. That's good to know, because we're about to come into springtime. Summer, and the last thing we need is these mosquitoes, you know, participating in the pandemic. But, you know, they already got carrying malaria. I think it's AIDS or something like that. They're supposed to carry or something like that with them. Anyway, we got enough. They got enough to do. So, you know, we're thankful that the mosquito not a carrier. The new coronavirus is a respiratory virus which spreads primarily through droplets generated by an infected person when he coughs or sneezes. Or through droplets of saliva, right? Or discharge from the nose, the runny nose, you know, so, right? Body fluids, right? Infected body fluids from an infected individual. to protect yourself outside of getting these body fluids dropped on you, right? Clean your hands frequently with an alcohol-based rub, hand rub, and or wash them in soap and water. Also, avoid close contact with anyone who's coughing and sneezing, right? That's common sense. Well, that's logic, at least, if you don't believe in common sense. Are hand dryers effective in killing the new coronavirus? I guess you guys could probably figure out the answer to that. You should frequently clean your hands with an alcohol-based hand rub or wash them with soap and water. Once your hands are clean, you should dry them thoroughly by using paper towels or an air dryer. Okay, now soapy water has an effect on the virus. That's what I heard, which is crazy. Well, it's not crazy, but, you know, you just never think something as simple as soap would be effective against a virus. But apparently it is. They talked about the ultraviolet lamp. No, don't use the ultraviolet lamps because it can irritate the skin, and the UV radiation can cause that skin irritation. So you don't want to do that. You don't want UV radiation either. How effective are thermal scanners in detecting people infected with the coronavirus? Thermal scanners are effective in detecting people who develop fevers. That's what it's for. Thermal heat, right? So it's there to detect heat. Okay, you got a high temperature, right? One of the symptoms, right? That's one of the symptoms of the if people have the coronavirus. They got a high temperature, right? Dry cough, high temperature, and you got some. It just looks like a cold sometimes. So I understand why people are a little paranoid about people who are sick, blowing their nose and coughing. However, they cannot detect people who are infected. Okay? This is because it takes between 2 and 10 days before people who are infected to become sick and develop a fever. 2 to 10 days. All right? Can spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body kill the new coronavirus? Man, I think we got enough. Don't we have chlorine in the public water? No. Spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body will not kill viruses that have already entered your body. Spraying such substances can be harmful to clothes or mucous membranes, the eyes and the mouth. Be aware that both alcohol and chlorine can be useful to disinfect surfaces, but they need to be used under appropriate recommendations, right? Don't get crazy. That's what they're basically saying right there. Do vaccines against pneumonia protect you against the new coronavirus? No. Because as I just told you, they have something they're trying out. They synthesized some of the characteristics of the SARS virus and going to give it to 45 healthy people. So if it was they could use this, people would be getting their shot right now. The virus is so new and different that it needs its own vaccine. So new and different. Researchers, as I say, are trying to develop a vaccine against it, right? And so although these vaccines are not effective against the COVID-19, vaccination against respiratory illness is highly recommended to protect your health. Can regularly rinsing your nose with saline help prevent infection with the new coronavirus? No. So this coronavirus is interesting. It says not many things. Once it gets in your body, I guess that's a done deal. You just got to go through it. There's no evidence that regularly rinsing the nose with saline Sicilian. What's that, Sicilian? Has protected people from infection with the new coronavirus. So that's the stuff you squirt up your nose. Like, what is that anyways? Is it salt water in a little bottle you squirt? Saline solution? There is some limited evidence that regularly rinsing the nose with saline solution can help people recover more quickly from the common cold. Cold, bam. We'll knock that out with that, you know. However, regularly rinsing the nose has not been shown to prevent respiratory infections. Can eating garlic help prevent infection with the new coronavirus? You know, garlic is a food. It has some antimicrobial properties. However, there is no evidence from the current outbreak that eating garlic has protected people from the new coronavirus. All right? It doesn't say that you shouldn't eat garlic, but there's no evidence. So maybe if you do use it, let us know what happened. Hopefully you don't catch the coronavirus. But if you do and you're taking garlic, you know, let somebody know. Now, they were talking about getting the workplace ready for COVID. I think this is from the World Health Organization. So, what should happen at the workplace? When someone who has COVID-19 coughs or exhales, they release droplets, right, infected with the fluid. Most of these droplets fall on nearby surfaces, right? People could catch COVID-19 by touching the contaminated surfaces, right? If they're standing within a meter, right, 3 feet of a person with COVID, they can catch it by breathing the droplets, coughed out, or exhaled by them. In other words, COVID-19 spreads in a similar way to flu. Persons infected with COVID-19 experience mild symptoms and recover, right? However, some go to experience more serious illness and may require hospital care. Risk of serious illness rises with age of people over 40 to be more vulnerable than those under 40. People with weakened immune systems and people with conditions such as diabetes, heart and lung disease are more vulnerable, right? We said that. Simple way to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in your workplace. Let me see. Employers should start doing these things even now, even if COVID-19 has not arrived in the communities where they operate. Make sure your workplace are clean and hygienic. So basically, as we talked about, wiping things down, right? Cleaning up things, wipe your keyboards down. So your workers, employers, you need to do that at your places of employment. Clean the place up. You should do that anyway, but you definitely need to do it now. Especially on the things that are frequently touched, like those bathrooms, you need to hit them. Because that's a lot of touching and, you know, doors. You need to hit those doors, everything that everybody goes touching, and, you know, keyboards and those tabletop and those chairs. I'm getting caught up in here. Okay, so they talk about the desk, tabletop, telephones, keyboards need to be wiped with disinfect regularly. Regularly. Not once. Regularly. Okay. Still getting messages. You want to share some information with the listening audience, you need to call in at 516-531-9505. Oh, again, 516-531-9540. I'm not able to respond to text because I'm working over here. I got three screens in front of me. Promote regular and thorough hand washing by employees, contractors, and customers. You want everybody coming into the place washing their hands. Put sanitizer and hand rub dispensers to promote in prominent places around the workplace. Like, you come in, right? Every exit, you know, people sitting down, at, you know, put that hand cleaner, they keep cleaning their hands. Display posters promoting hand washing. Ask your local public health authority for these, or you can get it off of www.whoint. Combine this with other communication measures such as offering guidance from occupational health and safety officers, briefings at meetings, and information on the intranet to promote hand washing. Okay, so basically this thing is about cleaning up. Watch where you put your hands at. Keeping your hands clean. On the job, you know, employers need to take that extra step. Make this to at least help your employees that are essential workers to your place of employment feel safe. Be safe. At least, because you can't guarantee their safety. Make sure that staff, contractors, customers have access to places where they can wash their hands with soap and water. That's that bathroom. I'm just looking in the bathroom. I was just thinking that, you know, I know that some bathroom you go to, you just put your hand under the faucet and the water turns on. I think maybe that should be a standard. That all public faucets, toilets and things like that should automatically flush once you, you know, once your hand, I don't know how the toilet would do it. Bicket would do it. And you put your hand under there, the water come down. I've seen them. You know, I think that's an excellent idea. Too bad we don't have those in a lot of places. Display posters on prompt and respiratory hygiene, combined with other communication measures such as offering guidance from occupational health persons. Respiratory hygiene, I guess that would be on the coughing to the tissue, handkerchief, your elbow. It might even be, hey, if you're doing all that, don't show up. If you're consistently coughing, and maybe you don't need to be in you know, wear a mask, be coughing, you know what I mean? If you're that sick, you know, go get yourself checked out, especially if it's dry and you have these symptoms. Ensure that face masks and other paper tissues are available for your workplaces. For those who develop a runny nose or cough at work, along with closed bins for hygienically disposing of them. So employers have face masks on board, paper tissues, right? Because people gonna get sick. You know, you might have the air conditioner up, somebody's nose start running. Well, they're gonna need to blow their nose. They're gonna need to wash their hands and dispose of that tissue. Why? Because it's a good respiratory hygiene prevents the spread of COVID-19, right? That makes a lot of sense to me. Brief your employees, contractors, and customers that COVID-19 starts spreading in your community. That if COVID-19 starts spreading in your community, anyone with a mild cough or low-grade fever or more needs to stay home. They should stay home or work from home if they have had to take simple, ordinary surgical face masks rather than the N95 face mask. That's the N95. That's the white one. Looks like a little bubble. Had this, the rubber bands on them. So, they saying if you got a cough, you should stay home. Runny nose, you should stay home. And you got any symptoms, whether you have, for employers, they're recommending that, they suggest that your employees, if they have any of the symptoms, stay home. I guess that's making a lot of people uncomfortable. It's going to make some people not come to work. They said that medications such as paracetamol, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, or aspirin may mask the symptoms of the infection. Keep communicating and promoting these measures that people need to stay at home, even if they just have mild symptoms of COVID-19. Mild symptoms of COVID-19 does not mean that you have COVID-19. That means that you have mild, doesn't mean that you have COVID-19. So if you're kind of sick, they're saying oh, you shouldn't be going to work. Any kind of sick, you shouldn't be showing up at work. Displays posters of this message in your workplace. Combine this with other communication channels commonly used in your organization or base or business. That's the loudspeaker. That's the internet. Things like that. So places of employment need to step it up. If you're not doing these things, seems like you're being irresponsible. Because you know, this is very serious. This is a serious thing that people are dying. COVID-19 is a mild disease for most people. It can make some very ill. Around one in every five people who catch COVID-19 needs hospital treatment. I think I said one in six from the other report. That's still close. Key considerations to prevent and reduce COVID-19 risks. Before the meeting or event, check the advice from the authorities in the community where you plan to hold the meeting or event. Follow their advice, right? If they tell you don't group up outside, don't group up, right? You can't do it. Consider whether a face-to-face meeting or event is needed, which could be replaced by a telephone conference or online event. Could the meeting or event be scaled down so that fewer people attend? Ensure and verify information and communication channels in advance with key partners such as public health and health care authorities. So you got to do a lot of communicating with people who all know about this virus. And I think just basically you probably just shouldn't be grouping up because they don't want you to group up. If you got to stay 6 feet apart, 3 to 6 feet apart away from somebody, come on. Pre-order sufficient supplies and materials, including tissues and hand sanitizers. Employers, I hope some employers are even listening to this. Pre-order sufficient supplies and materials, including tissues and hand sanitizers for all participants. Have surgical masks available to offer anyone who develops respiratory symptoms. That's a runny nose. That's a cough. What else? Oh, breathing issues. Those are three. That's just three. They actively monitor where it's COVID-19 is circulating. And from what I've seen in the United States, it is nowhere it's not circulating. Advise participants in advance that if they have any symptoms or feel unwell, they should not attend. All right? symptom does not mean that you have the disease. It means you have the symptom of the disease. You need to stay home. Make sure all organizers, participants, caterers, and visitors at the event provide contact details, mobile telephone numbers, right? And I know how to reach you because I'm about to tell you, don't come. We got 5 people confirmed COVID-19 cases right here on the site. Do not come, right? Stay clear that the details will be shared with local public health authorities. If any participant becomes ill with a suspected infectious disease, if they will not agree to this, they cannot attend the event or meeting. Develop and agree. Someone at the meeting becomes ill with symptoms of COVID, dry cough, fever, right? This plan should include identifying a room area where someone who is feeling bad could go, right? You isolate them from the group, right? Bam. Well, you sick. You go here, right? Have a plan for how they can be safely transferred from there to a health facility. Know what to do if a meeting participant, staff member, or service provider tests positive for COVID during or just after the meeting. What do you do? Agree the plan in advance. Agree to the plan in advance with your partner healthcare provider or health department during the meeting or event. Provide information or a briefing, preferably both orally and in writing, on COVID-19 on the measures that organizers are taking to make this event safe or for participants. See, now, you can just... The event could be you coming to work because we have this thing called essential workers. So the event is you coming to work. So you need to provide, employer, you need to provide information, factual information about what you have done to make it coming to work more safer. All right? And you should be doing everything that you could do because this could be a life and death situation. All right. Only have 4 more minutes left. And that's my story right there. Is it a storm outside? It's more than that we could talk about, but like I said, I'm not gonna try and say everything tonight. All right, so another thing they said, avoid sending employees who may be at higher risk of serious illness, right? Older employees, those with medical conditions such as diabetes, heart, and lung disease to areas where COVID-19 is spreading. So I don't know if you're in the United States, I don't know where that would be because it's spreading all over the country. They are high risk people. They are people who are likely to die from COVID-19 or be placed on a ventilator. Because I'm assuming that not all high risk individuals die, but they have more serious complications from the disease. Right? So we have 3 minutes left. And I'm just going to, before I leave the air, I want to again thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show, Mr. Kenny Jones, who's been so gracious in getting the show back on its feet. Blog Talk Radio, and all the listeners and participants on the show, glad to be back, and not happy about the conditions of which I'm under, and this would be the COVID-19 situation, but nevertheless, I will try to impart as much information as I can regarding what we could do concerning this COVID-19 situation. Everybody be safe. Don't forget the what you could do. You just off the bat, do the 5, right? Wash your hands often. Cough into your elbow. Don't touch your face with unclean hands, right? Keep a safe distance, 3 to 6 feet. Stay home if you can, you know, because right now we need people to, as many people who can, self-quarantine, you know. And don't make any visits you don't have to make. And we understand that you have to help people other places, right? So remember those five things. And again, you know, thank you all for listening to the show tonight. And I hope that I've been able to shed some light on this, this pandemic that we're going through, each one of us. And hopefully we don't, we survive it. We're here this time next year, sharing our views on provocative thought. Until next time, I want to say again, thanks to Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, for making the show happen. And until next time, y'all, you know, each one reach one, each one teach one. But wash your hands first, all right? And remember that. It's not a joke, nothing funny about this situation. And everybody stay prayed up who believe. And if you don't, you know, keep your thing tight. You know, follow the rules. Follow the guidance of the people who know about this disease. And hopefully we all make it through this thing. And we're here another day. I want to say thanks again, y'all. See y'all next week.